I'm very thankful to be a part of the family of God, the true church of God. I'm not ashamed to say true. It's the true church of God. There's false and there's true, amen. I'd like to maybe title this Lifted Confusion, or The Confusion Lifted. It tells us in, praise the Lord, in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And we're so thankful that God has lifted the confusion. He's made things plain and clear, and maybe there are still those of us that have confusion in our souls about certain things, and that's why we come to camp meetings, to state meetings and assembly meetings, and to our Sunday morning services and midweek services, so that the Lord can clear the confusion and take it away from our hearts. And I'm thankful that that's what He's done for me. I'm thankful that He continues to clear things in my heart that need to be cleared, and I praise Him for that. So we're thankful that God is not the author of confusion. So if we yet have confusion in our minds about certain doctrines or teachings, we can be sure that it's not God's fault. We can be sure that the devil has somehow blocked that, brought something else to confuse us, because God is not the author of it. It's God's desire that we understand clearly His will for our lives, and that we clearly understand the Bible. And hopefully this evening the Lord can clear up some confusion on this one subject that we'll be covering today. Praise His holy name. It says in John 12, the Gospel according to John chapter 12, verse 35, then Jesus said unto them, ye, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, or while ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be children of the light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. He hid from himself from these people, because he couldn't trust them. But we don't want him to hide himself from us. We desire that he come to us and clear the confusion, lift the confusion, lift the foggy confusion that might be overshadowing our hearts, our minds, and understanding today on this certain subject. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I've sometimes been in big stores. One of them was in Walmart one time, I believe it was. And there was, we're hearing about power shortages. And this big Walmart, the light went out, electricity went out, and it was totally dark inside. It was at night. And right away, the little kids started crying, and the women screaming. And it lasted for a few minutes, and then all of a sudden, the light came back on. And what do you think happened when the light came back on? Everybody calmed down. Yeah. The minute the light went out, there was screaming and crying and confusion and terror. The minute the light came back on, the confusion lifted, and everybody calmed down. Everything went back to normal again. And I am so thankful for the day that Jesus, the light of life, came into my life. And I know you are too, that He took away a lot of confusion. And maybe there's still some darkened areas in our mind and our understanding that need to be, that need those bolts of light, those flashes of light to come on, that we might understand more clearly. The Bible tells us that we are to study to show ourselves approved of God. It also says to be ready to give an answer or response to those that ask of the hope of the faith that is in you, something along those lines. And so it's important that we be able to answer when somebody asks us in this certain topic that we'll be talking about today. Amen. One time there was a man that went to visit some friends, and they let him stay. The bedroom was next door to the owners of the home in the hallway. And the man liked to get up at night and eat, and so they knew it. And their friend, they said, in the night you can get up and at 2 o'clock like you're doing, feel free to use the refrigerator, get whatever you want. We left a few snacks and stuff in there for you. He said, sure. So he went to bed. Sure enough, at about 2 o'clock, he got hungry, and he got up at night, and he didn't want to turn on the light to disturb the people in the home. So he just opened the door in the dark and felt his way through the hallway and opened the refrigerator door. And, of course, there was a light inside, and he was able to eat a snack and went back to his room. And as he opened the door of his room and was pulling back the covers, he heard, ah! Everybody was screaming. And the woman clawing at him and trying to hit him with I don't know what. And, well, he had gotten into the wrong room. And he almost got in bed with them, and they thought it was a thief or something. They just about killed him. Anyway, they turned on the light, and they knew what was happening. They all started laughing. He was embarrassed. Well, Jesus said that he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. And I'm so thankful that Jesus has shown his light brightly in my heart, and that we don't have confusion, because confusion does bring embarrassing times in our life. Amen. One time my grandmother, when I was about 8 years old, my cousin was about 7 years old. She lived in Portales, New Mexico, and I was just visiting. And there was a hen that had started sitting on eggs, and she was about ready to hatch them, like about 2 more days. I think it's 21 days, and they hatched their eggs. And she told us to, in Spanish, she said, échenle agua, which means pour. In English, it could be interpreted to mean pour water on her. So my cousin and I, she said, échenle agua, pour water on her. She meant give it water. We went in there, and she had a little cup in there. We were supposed to put water in there. We poured the water on the hen. And she got, we didn't know what was happening. We left. My grandmother came on, and she was really upset because the eggs got cold. She was only able to save one egg. And she got us from the air, and she said, y'all come over here. And so we got in trouble because we misunderstood the phrase. We thought she meant pour it on her. She meant give her water. And so there's a certain phrase in the Bible that some have misunderstood, and we're going to be talking about that in a little while. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I hope that the Lord can give us understanding through this teaching today. Praise the Lord. It tells us of someone that was confused, and he was a mighty preacher, eloquent man. We've already spoken about him in the services. His name was Apollos. That was in Acts 18, verse 26. And we all know that this eloquent man was mighty in the scriptures. He came from Ephesus. He was instructed in the way. He had instruction, but the instruction he had lacked more yet. He had light, but he needed more light so that he could get across the message clearly to the people. And when God's two servants that were with Paul, Aquila and Priscilla, heard about him, this is in verse 26, this is Acts 18, verse 26, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And are we all thankful when there have been those that have loved us and have cared for us, and we've asked questions, or maybe we haven't even asked questions. They've been able to tell by the way we talk about a certain subject that we're lacking understanding. And what do we do if we love people? Well, we want them to understand it better. Amen. We want to give them more understanding. We want them to have more light. We want them to understand the fullness of what they're lacking. And that's the way Aquila and Priscilla were. They loved this Apollos. And he was mighty in preaching. But I'm also thankful for Apollos, that when the more light came, that confusion taken away, that he wasn't so proud and said, no, don't explain to me anything. I already know. Don't try to set me straight. Who do you think you are? No, it doesn't tell us that Apollos did that. Apollos had a very humble spirit, and it doesn't say that he argued. It doesn't say that he opposed. I'm sure he sat down and listened. What do you have to tell me? I'm open. I'm sure he said, I'm open to whatever you want to teach me. If I'm wrong, I want to know, and I want it clarified. Amen? I do not doubt that was his spirit, because they were able to teach him, and they expounded the way of God more perfectly to him. I appreciate that so much. That was Acts 18, 26. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them. What did they hear? They heard a message that lacked a little more. They heard a doctrine that lacked something else. Amen? Obviously. Because it says, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Isn't that wonderful? I'm so thankful that we still have the Aquilas and Priscillas today that can expound God's way more perfectly unto us. Praise the Lord. The subject that we'd like to cover today is some verses that say that let women keep silence in the church, and the woman is not allowed to speak or teach or to usurp authority over the man. We're going to start with Mark 16. Mark 16 and verse 9. I would like to ask the question, who do you think brought the most important message of the gospel to the world? Was it men or women?
Those women who discovered that Jesus was no longer the king.
Amen. Yes. A very important part of the gospel message. It really is very important. It's a pivotal part of the gospel, because if Jesus had died and not risen again, he would have proven to be false, right? Everything that he had said would have been a lie. So the most important part of the gospel, it's all important. The blood of Jesus is important. Everything he taught is important. The life he lived is important. But even more so important is that he didn't remain in the tomb like Buddha and all these other false prophets. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so who brought that important message? It was a woman. More than one woman. We're going to be reading about that right now. And notice who it was that was telling him to go tell it. It wasn't a man telling them. Listen who it was that God sent. He sent someone to tell these women to go tell others. God was saying, it's okay for you, woman, to do this. Amen. And there are some people today that say it's not okay for women to teach, because they've taken those scriptures that I just referenced to a while ago, and they've misunderstood them. Or they've twisted them. Only God knows what's happening. The devil takes people, and he confuses them, and he leaves them in a foggy confusion. Mark chapter 16, verse 9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary, a woman, Magdalene, out of whom he had cast out seven devils, 10. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept, 11. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. Anyway, he later appeared to them again. Even though this message is not believed, whether it be preached by men or women, if God tells the woman to go tell, what does she need to do? She needs to obey and go tell. Just like the man is called to go tell that Jesus is alive, that he's not in the grave yet, the woman needs to obey too. And who are we to muzzle the mouth of the woman and to stop her from obeying the Holy Spirit or an angel telling her to go tell that Jesus is risen? Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. Now let's go over to, praise the Lord, Luke 24, another account of the resurrection of Christ. Luke 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. Praise the Lord. And they stood there, and they were perplexed. They saw angels and so forth. It says in verse 8, and they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Who were these people that told? Again, verse 10, and it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women, a whole group of women that were with them, which told these things unto, who were the apostles? Were they women or men? Here were women teaching men, revealing to them what had occurred. That were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. It doesn't matter that they didn't believe them, because in the beginning, when we preach the true gospel, they might not believe it. But they might act and go check to see if it's true. They might check in the scripture. Is that right? They might not believe it as we teach it. But they'll go home and study it and see if it's true. They might not tell you that, but they'll go, oh, I don't believe it. Ah, it's nothing. And they might go, let me check and see what that is about. Is that true or not? And that's where these apostles were. They didn't believe her, but they sure did run to the grave to see if it was true. They sure did run to the sepulcher to see if he was risen or not. Amen. It was hard for them to believe. The understanding had not been open. Jesus had told them that this would occur, but they still were not at that growth period. They still lacked a little bit more understanding for the Lord to take away that confusion from them. And he did take it away, as we all know. So here were women teaching men a very important doctrine, the resurrection doctrine. Amen? Let's go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. It says that there was a great earthquake, and an angel appeared to them. Verse 5. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Verse 6. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. 7. And go quickly and tell the disciples. Who was it that told these women to go tell the disciples? The angels. Divine beings from heaven, sent by God to tell women to go preach to men. Would you tell a woman that has been told by an angel to preach to men to not do it? I couldn't do it. We don't have the right to stop her. Amen? Verse 7. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. Verse 8. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre. Look, these women, they were God-fearing women. They quickly obeyed God to go preach this very important doctrine to the disciples. 8. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Has God called you to preach and you're dragging your feet? Oh, sister. Oh, brother. Oh, may you have that same desire to go run to your neighbors, to the grocery store, and tell others the good news about Jesus. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Romans 16. We read of a very special sister called Phoebe in Romans 16. It tells us in that first verse of Romans, I commend unto you, Paul is saying to the Corinthians, to the church at Corinth, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea. I have the privilege of reading the Reina Valera translation 1960 in Spanish. And in Spanish, the translators help the fog lift a little bit, the confused fog. There it says, the deaconess. In the 1960 Reina Valera that we used to preach in, it says deaconess there. So we have no problem explaining to people that she was a deaconess. Here it just says servant. Where do we get that from? When they translated it, the word diakonos is here, and they could have used the word servant. They could have used the word table waiter. They could have used the word minister. They chose to use the word servant here in the King James Version. And maybe that's why many have gotten confused, because the word diakonos has a wide spectrum of meaning, a wide range of meaning. Anyway, that word is a Greek word. It comes from the word diakonos, diakonos, and it means to run on errands or to go on errands. An attendant, a waiter at a table, waiting at tables or other menial duties. It also specifies a Christian teacher, a pastor, deaconess, minister, servant, or an official. And so that's all that this word includes. That's what Phoebe was. All of those things that I just mentioned, she was. That was her duty to do all those things. So she was a deaconess, and she was being recommended by Paul the Apostle to the Corinth church. Romans 16, verse 2. That ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she has been a succor of many and of myself also. Listen to what he's saying. Paul was saying that a woman helped me spiritually. I, Paul the Apostle, our brother Paul, was helped by a woman that was a deaconess. Succor comes from the word, from the Greek word, pararis, and it means a patroness, assistant, a succorer. So she had assisted Paul in his understanding. She had helped him through some of his struggles. She had taught him some things. This woman had taught this called servant of the Lord some important things. And Paul didn't stop her. And he was mentioning this to the Corinthians that don't stop her, assist her, because she's been a help to me. Verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. I didn't mention a while ago that when Aquila and Priscilla took Apollos apart, it's a man and a woman. If it had just been the man, they would have only mentioned the man, that it was the man that clarified the confusion or expanded the way more perfectly to Apollos. But it mentions Aquila and Priscilla. Maybe Aquila spoke some and then Priscilla spoke some, and they both had a part in taking away, lifting of the fog, the confusion that Apollos had. And it's wonderful that God does not, to God there is no Greek nor Jew, there is no male nor female. Physically, outwardly, there's a difference, but in the soul, the soul is the same to the Lord. He sees a soul. He doesn't see a man or a woman. Amen? It says in verse 6, greet Mary who bestowed much labor on us. Doesn't say what kind of labor, but they were laboring with Paul. Verse 7, salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. There is some debate whether Junia was a man or a woman, but if she was a man, note that she was of note, she was numbered among the apostles. Junia, right here. Isn't that interesting? Amen. And then it says here, verse 12, salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Amen. Again, some women that labored in the Lord. Let's go over to, praise the Lord, Acts chapter 6. We're going to establish, could it really be true that this deaconess woman was serving more than tables? Or was it that the deacons only served tables? Let's go over here to Acts chapter 6. Remember when they chose the seven deacons to help the apostles out because they're, let's just read what it says. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Who can read verses 3 and 4 and 5 for me, please? Acts 6, 3, 4, and 5.
Ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word.
Amen.
And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch.
Amen. They took out from among them seven honest men, full of the Holy Ghost. And one of the men I would like to make note, his name was Philip. We're going to follow the life of Philip a little bit to see. Since he was a deacon, what did he do? Did he only serve tables? And from that, we're going to conclude that if whatever Philip did, Sister Phoebe was doing also, because she was called to be a deaconess. And Stephen and these men were called to be deacons. And let's see, what were their duties? What did a deacon do in those days? Let's follow the life of Philip a little bit. Let's investigate. Let's go over to Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Do you notice that Philip was doing more than serving tables? He was chosen to serve tables and to relieve the disciples of these widows that were being neglected. But notice that the deacons not only served tables. Here is one deacon that was preaching Christ in different areas. Verse 6, we're in Acts chapter 8, verse 6. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Philip not only served tables, he preached, and the Lord did miracles through him. Amen. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Let's follow his life a little bit more further. Praise the Lord. The following page, still the same chapter, chapter 8, verse 35. Chapter 8, 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Remember when he met the eunuch, how the Holy Spirit told him to draw near that chariot, and he began to teach Jesus unto him? Well, here we have another record that Philip was still preaching the word of God. In verse 38, he baptized the eunuch. And in verse 40, it says, well, let's start with verse 39. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. And the eunuch saw him no more, and he went out on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. He sounds like a traveling evangelist, doesn't he? Amen. Praise the Lord. In Let's go over to, praise the Lord. Let me see what we read. Let's go over to, well, I'd like to mention that Philip in the book of Acts, praise the Lord, see if I can find it. It tells us that he had daughters that prophesied. Amen. Right now, I've not found that place. We might go back to it later in a little bit. Praise the Lord. We'll make... Excuse me? Okay. Yeah, 21 and 8. Excuse me, yes. Acts 21 and 8. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip, the evangelist. I just wanted to stop there. We'll come back to it later. Apart from the fact that he had four daughters that prophesied, it said it calls him Philip the evangelist. Amen. So now, if we go back to what we're reading about Phoebe in Romans, she was a servant of the church or a deaconess of the church. So we see that Phoebe was like Philip. She had the same calling or office as Philip, that she very well could have been preaching, serving tables, serving those widows. The Lord could have healed through her. She could have even been going from town to town evangelizing, because these were the duties of a deacon. And she was a deaconess. Do you understand what I'm saying? A deaconess was not just a servant serving tables. She had many other duties and gifts from the Lord. And more than likely, that's what she did. I do not doubt it. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Joel, the Old Testament. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. This was something that was being prophesied of what had occurred in Acts 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days will I pour out my spirit. Notice, sons and daughters, servants and handmaids. God does not decide that he is only going to pour out his spirit of prophecy upon men. He pours out his spirit of prophecy upon women when they meet those requirements of humbling themselves, being washed in the blood, repenting. And if he chooses, at any moment, he can pour out. She doesn't even have to be a minister. The Lord can use any woman to pour out his spirit of prophecy, and she can speak a word of exhortation, teaching, comfort, encouragement at any time, if the Holy Spirit so wishes to do it any time. Amen. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, where this is fulfilled. Acts chapter 2, verse 11. It's talking about all the people that were there after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they started speaking in the language that the language of all these nations around them. They were speaking to each one individually in the language that they understood through the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verse 11, it says, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And when people are usually speaking the wonderful works of God, we usually say they're preaching, testifying, exhorting, right? Praise the Lord. And that's what they were doing as the Holy Spirit fell upon them. So if this teaching is true, Joel 2, that God was going to pour out his Holy Spirit on men and women, right here, although it doesn't say there were men and women, we know that there were women there too, that they were also prophesying on the streets and in the houses and everywhere they went, they were prophesying. Here were women, preachers, evangelists, that were teaching men and women. They weren't just preaching to women, they were preaching to everyone that they saw, as the Holy Spirit moved them to do so. Amen. Verse 15. For these are not drunkard, for these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Didn't say just upon the women, upon the men, excuse me, upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they, do you catch that? And they, the handmaidens and the servants, the sons and the daughters, they shall prophesy. Who's understanding?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 4. Here are some instructions given by the Holy Spirit through Paul the Apostle that applies to us today. That's why you see the young women with long, uncut hair here. And if they're cutting it, I'm sure they're going to stop because they want to please the Lord in the future, right? 1 Corinthians 11, verse 4. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Look, there's that word again, prophesying. What happened to the disciples when the Holy Spirit fell upon them? They spoke about the wonders of God. What are the wonders? That he forgives, that he'll give you another chance, that he has power to save you from sin, that Jesus died, shed his blood, right? Resurrected, is at the Father's right hand, that he's coming back again. Those are the wonders of God. Amen? That he's merciful, long-suffering, compassionate. The wonders of God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as she were shaven. We have nothing against women covering their hair if they want, but I'm here to tell you that it's not a doctrine of the Bible to cover your head with a cloth. If you wish to do so, feel free to do it. There's no condemnation to you. But we are here to tell you that it is sufficient covering to use your long hair on top of your head to cover your head with it. It doesn't say the back. It doesn't say the waist. It said that it's a shame for a woman to pray or prophesy with her head uncovered. Amen? 1 Corinthians 11, verse 13. Judge in yourselves, is it commonly that a woman pray unto God uncovered? It proves to me that I have short hair, and it's covered in my head. And a woman could have short hair, and it could be covering her head. So it's not referring to short hair. It's referring to the long hair. And the long hair is to be used to cover the head. Judging yourselves, is it commonly that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Verse 14. Does not even nature teach you itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame to him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for it's given to her for this reason, that she is to do this with it. For her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. We don't have the custom of the woman cutting off her hair, or a praying or prophesying with her head uncovered. And what is she to cover her head with? With her long hair, her long uncut hair. That isn't the point. Let's get back to the point. Every man praying or prophesying, and then it puts the woman on the same level. Amen. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth. Notice that it speaks about the man doing what he does, preaching and teaching. And then it says when the woman preaches and teaches, she has to have her head covered. With, not with a cloth, but with her long hair. You see how they're on the same level? They both prophesy. And it's talking about the service. That in itself should lift the fog of confusion and the doubts about let women keep silence in the church. Amen. And we're going to be talking about those verses in just a little bit. Praise the Lord. And looking at the Greek and the Hebrew and what it really means. Let's go to Acts 21. Acts 21 verse 8, where we left off earlier. And we read about Philip the Evangelist, verse 9. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. What would they have been doing? They would have been preaching to a crowd of people, and in that crowd of people there would be men and women. Amen? Just like they did in Acts 2. They were preaching to everyone that was there. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go now. Glory to God. To Luke chapter 2, verse 36. Luke chapter 2, verse 36. Glory to God. Who praises the Lord?
Amen.
Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Who says amen?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen says you're in agreement, okay? When you say amen, you're saying, I agree, Brother Tony. Do you agree with what I'm teaching?
Amen.
Amen. Luke chapter 2, verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, 37. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Verse 38. We are in chapter 2 of Luke, verse 38. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake unto all the women that look for redemption in Jerusalem. Does it say that? It says that she spake to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. That should be enough to clear the confusion. Here was Anna, a prophetess, a woman that spoke under the unction of the Holy Spirit. And it does not say she only spoke to the women. She spoke to all. Everybody that wanted redemption, she told them about the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. She was preaching the gospel message to all. And it was in the temple court where she was. Amen. Praise the Lord. John chapter 4, 38. We've heard quite a bit about the Samaritan woman in these services. We were hearing this afternoon how she went and told others about what Jesus had told her. Amen. And it tells us about this in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, "He told me all that ever I did." So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Amen. 30:42. And said unto the woman, "Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Notice she had given him a saying. What was the saying? Come meet this Jesus. He's the Messiah. What was she doing? Exactly what I do. I go out on the streets in Juarez and I tell them, come and meet my Savior Jesus. A woman can do the same thing. Come and meet this man Jesus that has put my life in order, that told me everything that was in the secret chambers of my heart without me telling him. He knew about it. Come meet this Messiah. Every woman that is called to do that should surrender to that and do it. And we, man, who are we to stop it? Who do we think we are to redirect and quench and stop the Holy Spirit or an angel from allowing this woman to perform her calling? Amen? Are we in agreement?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's go to Acts chapter 18, verse 26. And I'm going back to Aquila and Priscilla. What did Aquila and Priscilla do? And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they, doesn't say he, says they includes he and she, they took him unto them and expounded unto him. Him is a man. For those that don't understand, H-A-M means man. Him. They took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Do we understand what's happening here?
Amen.
We need to be honest, set aside our false teaching, our preconceived ideas, and go with the word of God. Jesus said, "He that walketh in the light, even as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses him, and we have fellowship with God the Father. He that walks in darkness knoweth not where he goeth." Amen? Praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. Philippians 4, verse 3. "And I entreat thee also, yoke fellow, help those women." Women is W-O-M-E-N. It has woe and then men. For those of you that don't know. "Help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always." And again I say rejoice. Who rejoices today?
Amen.
Who rejoices today?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. There was Clement, and they were his fellow laborers. Amen. They were working in the work that Paul was working in. And what work was Paul doing? Preaching and teaching the word of God. And these women went with him, preaching and teaching the word of God. Do we understand that? Is the fog being lifted, I hope? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's go to the Old Testament. Glory to God in the highest. to Judges chapter 4, verse 4. Judges 4, 4. Praise the Lord. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. Verse 5. We're in Judges 4, verse 5. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And in the children of Israel came up to her. Her is H-E-R, and it means a woman. Her, for judgment. Amen? Praise the Lord. Do you understand what's happening? She was judging him according to God's will. She was telling him spiritual things. She was giving them spiritual judgments. Judgments on how to fight wars also, which were the wars of God. She was telling them which direction to go, what not to do, what to do. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, a woman was telling men of war what to do. Amen? Is the confusion lifting? I hope it is. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's go to Judges. Judges 4, verse 18. Judges 4, 18. And Jael went out to meet Sisera. This was Jael, verse 21. And Jael, Heber's wife. Notice that Jael is a woman. She's a wife of someone. Took a nail of the tent and took an hammer in her hand and went softly unto him and smote the nail into the temples and fastened it into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. Here was a woman that gave victory to God's people by being directed by God. Amen. And I'm so thankful for those women amongst us that preach the word of God and exhort and give us counsel. And if they are under the Holy Spirit and we trust them and we follow that counsel, we can get victory. Amen?
Amen.
Women can give counsel to men also. Amen? Praise the Lord. Why? Why do we say that women can give counsel to men? Because we just read it. Deborah gave counsel and Jael was used of the Lord to give victory to God's people. Amen? Let's go to Exodus 15, verse 20. Guess what Miriam was? Who can tell me what was Miriam? It starts with a P. She was a prophetess. She was a prophetess. Amen? Exodus 15, verse 20. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with the timbrels and with dances. Verse 21. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." Amen. Here is Miriam, a prophetess. The Holy Spirit would come over her and she would speak the word of God, as we are praying that our sisters do among us today, right?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Miriam was a prophetess. How often do you hear that? Not very often. You just hear Miriam murmured against Moses and she got leprosy. But how often do you hear that Miriam was a prophetess? Miriam was a prophetess.
Yes,
okay. Let's go to Kings, 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings 22, starting with verse 14. 2 Kings 22, verse 14. So Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam, and Akbor, and Shaphan, and Asahiah went unto Huldah the, what do you think? The prophetess, to Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shalom, the son of Tikva, the son of Harhaz, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. And this is what she said. We're in 2 Kings 22, 15. And she said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord." When somebody says, is saying, "Thus saith the Lord," what are they doing? They're mostly preaching. They're prophesying, they're preaching. And what was, who was saying, "Thus saith the Lord"? A woman, named and called the prophetess. For those of you who do not know what a prophetess is, it's a woman that was called by God to preach the word of God, to lead God's people in a certain direction. Amen? She spoke under the unction and direction of the Holy Spirit. And she said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man," A man? Uh-oh. A woman is telling a man something. Oh, horrible woman. No, she isn't horrible because she was only acting under the unction of the Holy Spirit. Tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah had read, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. And she kept on. Does that sound like a preacher? She was at it. She was a fiery preacher. Praise the Lord. She was only preaching the word of God. She wasn't exhorting her. She wasn't throwing around her weight. She was speaking with the authority that God had given her. She had no authority apart from the authority that God gave her. Do you know the men among us have no authority apart from the authority that God has given them? Do you know that the Bible says that we are not to be lords over God's kingdom, God's heritage? Not even the men are supposed to lord it over God's people. We are to speak as ambassadors of the Lord, his servants only, his mouthpieces. Yes, we have a special calling. We are not like the bum on the street or like the drunk in the corner. We are not. We have a special calling. Amen. And we are set apart. And we better obey the word of God or God is going to punish us as he did with, remember what happened to Jonah? He tried to run away from God and it didn't go very well for him. He was in a storm in a boat, and then God prepared a big fish that swallowed him and then threw him up later on. He did not have a very comfortable life. So if we don't obey God, God will put us through some tests and some trials and even punishment if we do not yield to his calling. And that's all that these women were doing. They feared God just like I do. And they were just going to speak the message that God gave them to speak. And that's what they're doing. And that's what they do today in God's family, the church of God. We have women that are saying, thus saith the Lord. And you better listen. Oh, she's just a woman. You better listen. Because it's not her message to you. It's God's message to you. And not just because it's a woman is God going to annul it and stop it. We better listen to the message when our sisters speak. Whether it be exhorting in the service, singing, testifying, or from right here preaching the word of God. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God in the highest. We read in 1 Samuel 25. Remember when David's servants took care of certain men's sheep, and this certain man, they came to him to see if they would give him something to eat, and he didn't want to. It was a churlish man. And David got real upset, and he was going to go kill them and all their people. And who stopped David? What's her name? Abigail. Did David say, oh, no, you're a woman. I'm not going to listen to you. Women are not allowed to speak to me. Women are not allowed to teach men. Did he say that? No. He understood that God sent this woman to stop him. She came with camels full of all kinds of fruit and gifts to give him. And she humbly bowed down before him. She said, I am your servant. Amen. It says in 1 Samuel 25, verse 24, and she fell, it says, and fell, and she fell at his feet and said unto me, my Lord, upon me let the iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience, and hear the words of thine handmaid. He could have said, women are supposed to keep silence in my presence. No one is supposed to teach me. No, he understood that obviously God had sent this woman. Amen? 1 Samuel 25, verse 28. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. She even took the blame for her husband. Verse 31, and this shall be no grief unto thee, no offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. How beautiful, right? Amen. Very beautiful. And look at what it says. What did Paul say about the words of this woman? He gave her a beautiful tribute. 1 Samuel 25, verse 23, David said, the Lord God of Israel, which has sent thee this day to meet me, said, blessed be that Lord God that sent you. Verse 33, and blessed be thy advice, And blessed be thou which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hadst hasted and come to me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any, etc. It says there, any man would have not been left. Do you see what this powerful message did for David? He could have been cut off forever from God. A woman stopped him from his own self. A woman kept him back from his own foolish, carnal acting. I'm so thankful for the women among us that prophesy, that teach, and that give counsel and advice. You respect them. Amen. Don't look at her as a woman. You look at her as a soul sent from the Lord with a message for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God in the highest. Esther, chapter 7, verse 3. We all know the story of Esther. I love it. I just read it again not long ago. And I encourage you to read the Bible every day, brothers and sisters. It's such a, there's passion, there's adventure, there's mystery, there's everything you can find in the Bible. Better than any mystery book on the face of the earth. Amen. And it's real. It's not fiction. It's an autobiography of reality. Esther chapter 7 verse 3. Then Esther the queen answered and said, "If I have found favor in thy sight," she told the king, her husband, "O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given, and my petition, and my people, and my request. For we are sold, and I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage." Anyway, we all know the story that several times she went in, and unless the king called in the queen, she would be killed, her head cut off. And many times she said, "If I perish, I perish." She knew that for such a time as this, she had been called. And I'm so thankful for our sisters that they could have gone a different direction, whether they be young sisters or older sisters. They could have planned their own life, but they have yielded to the call of the Lord to preach the gospel message, and they have been called for such a time as this. And they say, "If I perish, I perish. I'm going to preach this gospel message." Even if we have that stigma against us of women keep silent, I'm going to do it. I don't care if I get persecuted. Amen. If I perish, I perish. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Judges. Praise the Lord. We've already read that. Let's go to Judges chapter 9, verse 52. Judges 9, 52. "And Abimelech came unto the tower and fought against it and went hard unto the door of the tower to burn it with fire." Praise the Lord. "And a certain woman cast a piece of millstone upon Abimelech's head, and all to break his skull." A woman. "Then he called hastily unto the woman and his armor bearer and said unto him, Draw thy sword and slay me, that men say not of me, a woman." Uh-oh. A woman. Oh, no. "A woman slew him, and this young man thrust him through, and he died." Oh, may we as men not be that proud and say, "I don't want for anybody to find that a woman's teaching me the word of God." Oh, no. You humble yourself. Whether it be a man or a woman, if God has sent her to you, you better listen to her. You're not going to escape just because it's coming through a woman. We better listen to the women among us. Praise the Lord. A woman killed them. And I'm so thankful for those messages from women that have put to death anger, wrath, malice, all the works of the flesh in my life. They've thrown that stone upon it and killed it as they prophesied under the unction of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go back to the New Testament. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's go to Luke 15. Jesus spoke parables involving women. And listen, what is the gist of the parable? What does the parable mean? Luke 15, verse 8. Jesus said, "Either what woman, W-O-M-A-N, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. Verse 9. We're in Luke 15, verse 9. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. What do the 10 pieces of silver represent here, brothers and sisters? Souls. And in this case, she had lost one. The lost one represents a lost soul. And she was sweeping the house. Do you know that God has a long handle called the gospel message? And it goes all over the world. And he's able to sweep every corner in Asia and Africa with the gospel message. And right now, it's even more true. Literally, a woman can preach here in Guthrie, and she can be sweeping Africa, the corners of Africa, the corners of Asia, through the internet. Amen? It has a long handle, and it's reaching those dark corners, the dark corners of adultery and fornication, of idolatry and of witchcraft. It's sweeping and getting out those coins out of there and washing them pure in the blood of the Lamb of God. Amen? And then she was rejoicing because she had preached the word of God and the coin had been found. And don't the sister workers among us, the pastor women, whether it be deaconesses or servants of the Lord, handmaidens, don't they rejoice like we do men when we preach the word of God and a coin that was lost in the crevice of sin is brought out. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. To finish, brothers and sisters, with Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4, verse 4. What instrument did God use to bring the Savior into the world, brothers and sisters? A woman. W-O-M-E-N. If he was against women preaching, why? We're not going to stop here. We still need to go to a few more verses. Excuse me. Why did God use a woman if he didn't believe in bringing the gospel through the avenue of a woman? He brought the very gospel, Jesus himself, the very Savior who is salvation himself, through the avenue of a woman. Amen? Praise the Lord. It says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Isn't that beautiful? Made of a woman. Glory to God in the highest. Praise the Lord. God is so good and so faithful. Let's go now to 1 Corinthians 14. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33. We're going to cover those hard verses now to finish off. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, and as in all the churches of the saints. Verse 34. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. It says in verse 37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or a spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. So what did Paul mean by keeping silence? That word silence here comes from the word sigao, S-I-G-A-O. It's a Greek word. Segao, and it means to keep silence or to hold your peace. And I'm here to suggest to you, just like when we translate a hymn, if I were to give you the Evening Light Hymnal, and there were 10 Mexicans in here, and you were each to translate the Evening Light Hymnal, do you know that the words would not be exactly the same? You would lean one word, you could maybe use three words, and you would pick one of those three words. One of the 10 would pick the other one, and another 10 would pick the other one. And with that word, you might not completely get the whole fullness of the word. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I do not doubt here that when they translated the King James Version, they used one of the words that they could have used. And they put silence when they could have put hold your peace. Amen? Let your women hold their peace in the churches. Doesn't that put a little slant to it differently? When children are rowdy, they say, quiet, quiet, children, quiet, quiet, quiet. Hold your peace. When somebody's getting married, they say, how do they say it? If anybody here says something against this, forever hold your... Speak now, forever hold your peace. Does that mean that they can never speak in that service again? No, they're just saying, speak now or don't mention it again. This issue of saying no about it. In a classroom, how many of you got in trouble? I did for talking. The teacher would say, be quiet, and you keep on talking. And then she'd go, you're going to have to write 200 times, I will not talk in the classroom. On the chalkboard. I will not talk in the classroom. Does that mean that she's saying that you can never speak in the classroom ever again? You can never talk out of term, out of order in the classroom again. Do we understand what it's saying? Paul is saying, I do not allow a woman to speak out of order in the classroom, to interrupt. Amen? That's what we get from that word. Sagao, the Greek word, which means to also keep silence, but it means to hold your peace. And like right now, some women could have interrupted me and asked me a question, or you could have argued with me. In that case, this would apply to you. Amen. Because you would have interrupted the flow of the Holy Spirit. But if you get up afterward and testify about it, you have that liberty. Why? Because I hope the fog has been lifted. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 that any woman praying or prophesying, she can prophesy. Amen. We've studied all around already. It should be clear to us. Amen. So, if we word it that way, let your women hold their peace in the churches. For it is not permitted for them to speak out of term, but they are commanded to be under obedience unto their obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. That part sheds a lot of light. They're asking questions in the service. How many of you have been in a Jewish synagogue? I have. On one side, the men sit. On the other side, the women sit. I can just picture a man sitting on that side and a woman over here, and she doesn't get it. She goes, honey, what did the pastor mean by that? What did the rabbi mean by that? And then the other one says, oh, yeah, honey, what did he mean by that? And they start talking back and forth. They're interrupting the service, right? Or, darling, do you have the bottle for the baby? Yelling across the service during the service is going on, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? They're not allowed to speak out of term. They're not allowed to ask questions in the service when that has not been opened. Amen? Amen. Who's understanding?
Amen.
Who's understanding?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's go to the other very hard verse. Glory to God in the highest. Which is... Amen. In Timothy, right? 2 Timothy. Glory to the Lord. Okay, we're in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's just read it all together. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, starting there. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. Notice that they're learning, they're not teaching. Right? He's not talking to the woman that is teaching, he's talking to the woman that is learning. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. That word silence right there comes from the Greek word heisoukeia. Heisoukeia. And that Greek word means stillness, desistance from bustle or language, quietness, silence. And right here, those that translated the King James Version chose to use the word silence. They could have put, let your women be still with all subjection. They could have put, let your woman desist from bustle with all subjection. They could have put, let your woman learn in quietness with all subjection. Do you understand what I'm saying? And since they chose the word silence, the world today that is in ignorance, and they don't take the whole scriptures like we just took them, the prophetesses Acts 2, the daughters prophesying. Acts 11, ye all may prophesy. We're going to cover one more thing here in a bit. So you see the confusion? Who says amen?
Amen.
Amen. When we understand that word hesukeia includes stillness, desist from bustle, stop moving around and making noise and disturbing the service. We would tell that to the kids too. You know one thing that touched me about coming to Guthrie when we first came was to see the children sitting still. They weren't running around. They were desisting from bustle. Amen? They weren't disrupting the service. And these women were disrupting the service as they learned. As they learned. They were not preaching. They were learning. And some of them were trying to, in their learning, trying to say, oh, no, you're not right. That's not true. You can just imagine them trying to interrupt the pastor and saying, the rabbi and saying, speaking about in the Jewish churches. But right here, let's say they try to interrupt Brother Paul. Here, Brother Paul is speaking a deep mystery, and they go, Brother Paul, that's not true. I learned over there in the pagan temple that, do you understand? And they were interrupting. And Paul said, we don't allow that in the services. If you want to learn something, learn. Ask your husbands at home and learn quietly. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That word, hesukeia, means stillness, desistance from bustle or language, quietness, silence. And as far as usurping authority over the man, again, the men are not to lord it over the women either. The men are not to lord it over any of the congregation. So just the same calling that the man has to keep humble. Remember Jesus said, you are not called to be served, but to be servants. Who will be greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He who serves. The man, I don't care how old he is, if he doesn't have a spirit of service, the Lord does not look upon him with much respect. Because the Lord has called us to be humble and to be servants. Likewise, the woman, preacher, is to be humble and to serve. Amen? So, it's not just the woman that is being told to not usurp authority. The man is not to usurp authority over anybody either. The only authority that he has is the authority that comes from God. I don't have any other authority than the authority that God has given me to tell you the Word of God. And I'm using the Word of God. I'm not giving you my opinions. I'm basing what I teach on the Word of God, directed and guided by the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen?
Glory to God in the highest. So we thank the Lord that God even sent salvation through Mary, a woman. Praise the Lord. We are thankful that it says in 1 Corinthians 14, just to finish now, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 24. It says, but all the men may prophesy. No, it says, 1 Corinthians 14, 24, but all may prophesy. But all may prophesy. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one and learned, he is convinced of all and judged of all. What does it mean that all may prophesy? All who are inspired in the meaning to get up and speak may do it, whether it be man or woman. And then it also tells us, praise the Lord, in verse 31. Who can read verse 31 for me? We're in 1 Corinthians 14, 31. It says,
for you may all prophesy one by one, but all may learn and all may become good.
Yes. What if I say to you, you may all get a piece of cake one by one? What am I saying? That you can all get the cake one by one. Amen? You may all, pizza is being served. You may all get a piece of pizza one by one. What does that mean? Am I excluding somebody?
No.
I'm not excluding anybody. So Paul was not excluding the women. Ye may all prophesy one at a time. So that would mean that they would be talking in their service, because this was a teaching about the service. So all, including the men and the women, could speak one by one in the service. Amen? And notice when he said it, he said that right above, you skip one verse. Let's read it in context. Amen. It says, verse 31, for ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and that all may be comforted, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints, let your women keep silence in the churches. Do you understand what's happening? He's first telling them, they all can all speak, but you women who are interrupting, keep silence. Don't keep on interrupting the service. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.